Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Man sat at a table toward the back of a coffee shop. It was a shop that he had visited almost every weekday for 20-some years. And by now, the baristas greeted him by name, never solicited an order, for they already knew what he wanted. And every morning, he'd purchase his drink. He would sit at the very same table and plan out his day. He'd never stay long, 15 minutes maybe. But it was enough time for him to mentally prepare what lay ahead. See, he was a trauma doctor in a busy downtown hospital where he would come into contact with families whose lives were being completely turned upside down. And he would become the center of their lives for that moment. And these loved ones would focus their attention on him, place their trust in him, and lean on him for confidence. See, he would be the one that would guide them through their life-changing experience. And every time he played this role, every time, he witnessed the effects that the trauma had on these families. See, he watched loved ones wrestle with each other, sometimes casting blame, sometimes building walls. He watched families completely fall apart. Right there before his eyes, relationships not strong enough to survive what was happening in that emergency room. You see, the patient's life wasn't the only life that was turned upside down. All that were attached to him in some way experienced upheaval. But of course, he saw the opposite. He saw families whose bonds seemed to strengthen through trauma. Saw loved ones clinging closer to each other, leaning on each other. He saw them become far more united. The experience may be dramatic, traumatic, but in some ways, they could see it as a blessing because of who they would all become on the other side. Trauma, that was his world. And until recently, the trauma had been confined to the walls of the emergency room. But not this morning. For he sat at the corner table, and he was in the midst of another trauma, one that was much more intimate, much more private, much more personal. There were no family members or loved ones to communicate with. There wasn't even a patient. That's not really true. There may not have been a patient in front of him on the table, but there was a patient in him at the table. And it was a situation he had no training for. In all the years of medical school, in all the years of practicing, he had never once considered how to treat a patient when the patient was him. He was presenting no physical injuries, but his heart and his soul had been turned upside down and were near death. How was he to save them? What was he to do? In our gospel this morning, we read of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. This is what we heard. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage at Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone asks you what you're doing, why are you doing this, say the Lord has need of it, and we'll send it back here immediately." And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it. And he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And he entered Jerusalem, and he went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And what we don't read is what happens next. Over the next few days, Jesus enters into the temple and cleanses it. He turns it completely upside down. And the crowds, they begin to turn against him. And they rescind that warm welcome that they offer to him during his entrance. You see, they do not want him to be their king, for he demands way too much. He demands that they allow him into their lives so that he can cleanse it, so that he can turn it upside down. And that is a step too far. And they don't want this kind of trauma. They want the status quo, but with a new king, a king that will reward them for being who they are and allowing them to live how they like. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. This was their plea. We welcome you as our king. We want you to save us, so long as you will turn Rome's world upside down and leave ours alone. They want to experience the victory, but they're unwilling to pay the price. They want the reward, but only if the cost is free. And when they discover the cost, the true cost, well, they look for another Savior and they send this one to the cross. And that man sat at his table drinking his coffee. See, he had always attended church. He always believed in Jesus. But lately, he couldn't explain it. What was he crying Hosanna for? Was he even wanting to be saved from something? Or was he simply just going through the motions? Did he even recognize that there was trauma in his soul that needed a physician? Or was he crying Hosanna simply because those around him were doing the same? Palm Sunday. It's the day we recall when the gates of the city were thrown open and Jesus was welcomed in. It's the day when the crowd saw him as their Savior and were overjoyed by his arrival. But it was also a day, as we all know, that was short-lived. Their commitment will prove to be fleeting. After Jesus enters, after Jesus begins cleansing, the people will no longer welcome him. Instead of trusting him, they will rescind it and apply it back to themselves. Instead of allowing him to clean, they will cast him out to die. And what about you? It is Palm Sunday. And today, we can recall the time when Jesus entered into our own hearts through water and the word of our baptism. It was a day when we welcomed Him in. And it was a day when He entered. And over the next several days, you have the opportunity to reflect on your own shouts of Hosanna. You have the opportunity to walk with Jesus as He enters into Jerusalem, as He turns that city upside down, as He gathers to Himself the sins of the world, and as the crowds crucify Him. You have the opportunity to reflect on the parallels in your own baptismal life. Jesus has entered into you. He has turned your life upside down, hasn't He? Have you felt the crushing weight of His work as He pointed to all of your sins? And do you call out, Hosanna, because you know that there is none other than God who can save you from the trauma in your sinful life? This is the week. This is the week. It's the week to open not just the gates of your heart, but the gates of your life. This is the week to pray that He would enter into your heart, cleanse it once again. And it may turn your life upside down. It may bring you to your knees. But it will bring you to the cross. And there, in that emergency room, where the great physician took you as His patient, it's where He's treated you, healed you. And it is where He took you to His grave, where He shared His death with you, so that He could share His resurrected life with you. This is Palm Sunday. This is an invitation to make it your own personal Palm Sunday. Will you receive it? Please pray with me. Lord, the gates are open, and we are shouting, Hosanna. May our cries bring You ever closer into our lives, cleansing and treating our hearts. May we allow You to be our physician, trusting in Your care, clinging to the promise of our own Easter morning, when we will be raised from the dead and live completely healed and forever in Your presence. Amen.